Amen. Glad he's brought me through. If you win your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll just read a little bit of it, use it as a springboard into what I want to preach tonight. And I was going to preach Philippians and decided to go a different route, as I do sometimes on Sunday night. I told you this morning, the revival meeting, that Brother Sider, I'd heard him preach many times. But to me, Brother Sider is speaking, of course, God speaking through him, far exceeded my expectations. I'm so glad that God still speaks to me through the preaching. And as he's speaking, as he's preaching, I'm under conviction. And I went to the altar every night. I feel every message was just right aimed towards me. I get people say that to me all the time. Preacher, man, you preached right at me. Who told you what was going on in my life, you know? And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will do that and how he intercedes, intervenes in our lives. And I'm so glad that having been saved at a young age of 6 years old, that now these many years later that he still speaks to me. And what a blessing it is. Very familiar passage in Isaiah. As we think about seeing the Lord, and we just read this and then we'll talk about the priority of revival tonight. Just a real simple message. We won't be long tonight. The priority of revival. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And notice again, as you think about the reaction of Isaiah, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is the prophet Isaiah. The prophet, the preacher of Isaiah, saying, woe is me, for I am a man, I am undone, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with his tongues off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet together in your house. We pray tonight as we look again at the simple truth of revival, that Lord, that you'd bless, that you would encourage us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. As you think about me as the pastor standing up and constantly talking about soul winning, and be here too tonight, 7 o'clock, be here Saturday morning at 10, and just constantly pushing that. And we have to, as a church, continue to fulfill the commission that Christ has given us. In fact, if we don't fulfill it, then we're not a church. And we don't want to become, Heritage Baptist Church does not want to become a social club, just a place where people meet in fellowship and we kind of enter perspective and so forth. But we want to continue to reach out to our community, not just reach out in the sense of helping those who may be in need as far as the poor is concerned and these, but primarily reaching out to our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That's our primary goal. That's our primary job. That's our primary work that we do, is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday school teacher, every master club worker, every deacon, every trustee, all of us working together to win people to Jesus Christ. Every activity we have is really being influenced by our great commission to reach others with the gospel. The Fall Festival coming up here. And we're having the Fall Festival earlier this year. It's going to be the last Saturday in September. So I know that's wrong on your calendar. And the primary goal of the Fall Festival is to reach people. The second one is for our kids to have a great time. But we're going to reach people in our community. We're going to be a blessing to our community. But we do harp on it a lot. We push it. We talk about it. About reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I remind you, as we look at what Isaiah experienced, that Isaiah experienced the call. He said, you know, here am I, send me, after he had seen Jesus, after he had seen the Lord, after his sins had been forgiven, after he had been cleansed. If you think about revival, and we always push revival that there ought to be something taking place, but that's going to produce an action. In other words, as a pastor, sometimes I'm selfish. I say, let's have a revival and see if we can get more people out soul winning. You know, I'm just that way. I mean, I want to put people to work, you know. But in doing so, sometimes we get it backwards. See, the priorities of revival are this. The first priority in revival is for me to get right with God. That's the first priority. The priority of the revival we just experienced, and he did a terrific job of teaching this, is, Lord, where am I? Lord, cleanse me. Search my heart. Know my heart. Try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Know my thoughts. And he does. And Lord, is it me? Is it me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? And it is. The first priority of revival is cleansing in our own heart. Many verses we could turn to. Proverbs 28, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as a born again child of God tonight, the priority of revival, the first priority, is for myself, for you, to be right with God. Can I say be right? I can say get right. To get right with God. Deal with this sin. I told this story, but it's been a long time ago. When I was 11, my dad helped start a church in the big old city of Nakona, town of 2,800 people, Bible Baptist Church in Nakona. When I was graduating from high school, just after I graduated from high school, and my dad had pastored there for 3 years, after I graduated from high school and got married, my dad was transferred by his job out to Snyder. And a new pastor came in, and oh man, he was a piece of work. He's with the Lord, but that little church wasn't running but 35 or 40 anyway, a small town. But the guy, I could just tell stories after stories. He was retired. He had lots of problems. In fact, it got bad, and I got a ministry job over in Bowie, 20 miles from there. So anyway, I left and became the youth pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Bowie. A year and a half later, this pastor resigned, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law were still in the church, and I got a call from them, and they said, hey, would you consider coming back over and pastoring the church? And I'm 20 years old. I'm like, no. And after consulting with my pastor, Brother Gantz, who I was working for, and some others, my pastor said I shouldn't go. And then I consulted with Eddie Johnson, some others who were my friends even back then. And they said, Miss Johnson, how many of y'all know Eddie Johnson, our home pastor? It was Miss Johnson who said, if you don't go over there and candidate for that church, I'm going to whip you. It wasn't like that, but it was pretty much a three-hour conversation about you need to at least give the Lord an opportunity to open a door here. So I said, okay, you're right. Some of these other guys are wrong. Because I had like three other pastors tell me you shouldn't do this. That you grew up in the church, they're never going to respect you. You'll always be little Eric, and you know, they're just, you can't pastor people who think you're just a little boy. And so, but she said, you better go. So I did. I took her advice, and of course, after praying hard and much about it, went over. And sure enough, they voted me in 100%, even with conditions. I had a set of conditions. First condition I had, some of y'all remember this. First condition I had was that my father-in-law had to resign as associate pastor. And there were reasons why I thought that had to be. And my father-in-law was good with it. He said, yep, I'll resign. The church was running 12 and had an associate pastor. Just didn't see that a need for that. And there was other reasons. Secondly, they had dropped all of their missionaries. They did not support one missionary. The former pastor had just taken the mission money, the general fund, building fund, and just lumped it all into one, which, by the way, is unethical. And he lumped it all into one account and dropped all the missionaries. So I said, I will not pastor a church that doesn't support missionaries. So that the night you accept me as your pastor, then we'll take three missionaries on. And they said, okay. And then I had a two-year or three-year plan drawn out for the church and where we were heading, what we were going to do, and they accepted the plan. It's 12 people. But they voted me in unanimously, 100%. There was a family in that church that had been there a long time, and they're home with the Lord now too, but they had been there a long time. My dad had pastored them, the founding pastor had pastored them, and so forth. But they were moochers. And they absolutely were. And they lived like the devil. And they were there in the church, and the former pastors had just kind of coddled them and had been nice to them. And I'm talking about they lived like the devil during the week. Their kids were whoremongers. But yet they consistently wanted a handout. They didn't work. They could work, but they didn't. Hello? And there were some other issues. And my dad said to me, when you go to that church, you take the church, you ought to go in there and preach on sin until that family leaves. There were other issues in the church. There were other problems in the church. If you're running 12, there's got to be something wrong. Even though you only used to run 35, but it's a small town. That's what they're going to run. And so I went in, sure enough, and I took some advice from other pastors, and I prayed hard about it. And I preached on sin for 3 months. Every service basically was a message about get right with God. I mean, it was, you know, various messages, various texts, but it, you know, 1, 2, 3, get right with God. And you know what? It didn't take 6 weeks. That family started missing church. And the 8th week, they showed up one time, and you know what? They were done. They were gone. You know, because of their spiritual condition, whether lost or saved, I don't know. I mean, that's only between them and God. But they could not take hard preaching. They couldn't take preaching on sin every service. Some of you could. I know that. We have a good group here. And I like hard preaching. I like every once in a while for a guy just to get up and just lay it down on the line. Like Brother Siler did. It was amazing. And it was after that happened in that church, I'm telling you, it's like the windows of heaven opened. And God just showed up in a great way. It's amazing how the Lord used that, and because of some issues, others' issues in the church that pretty well took care of themselves the first 3 months, that church just took off like a rocket. We pastored there a year and a half, and we were running about 60 when I left and came to Lakeland. And the next pastor came in, did a good job. They got up running about 80. That building won't hold 80. Some of y'all been there. I don't know how you put 80 people in that building. And good church now. My father-in-law pastors that church now. But I just remember Dad saying, you've got to, he didn't use the word weed out people. He just said, there are some problems in that church, and the only way you're going to settle it is if God gets a hold of their hearts. And those who cannot, and those who would not get right with God are going to leave. And they did. And those who were still there, man, they got right with God. It was amazing what happened. I do believe the Achan rule. In other words, I do think a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. And you can say in a church family, as a church family, that we do affect each other. And if there's one in the church who's harboring and condoning sin in life, it can affect the rest of the group. That's a biblical principle. So we must be careful. So that's why the first priority in revival is dealing with sin. Well, second priority in revival is prayer. And Brother Siler covered that. Prayer and intercession. It's just a yearning to get back to a genuine prayer life. And I hope that through the revival meeting that maybe you've just reestablished a prayer life and that you have gone back to the basics of just praying every day. Are you on praying ground? By that I mean, are you in a position right now that you could pray at any moment and believe that God would hear your prayer? You ought to be. You ought to be. And can I say that God can do more in a minute than we can do in a year? And let me clarify what I'm trying to say. We have lots of programs around here. And I think they're good. I think we're a busy church, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't. I think we as a church ought to be busy. This summer has been just really busy for our youth pastor and some of the others. And it's important that we stay busy about the Lord's work. But can I tell you that sometimes an understanding that busyness does not equate with results. That we can put all the programs together, do all the soul winning, do all the visitation, and there still be no fruit. And God in 1 minute can do more in 1 minute than we can with all of our programs, all of our ministries. And that's where prayer comes in. Prayer, asking Him to bless. Getting right with God and asking Him to bless. And it's not just getting right with God, but you praying for your fellow man. You praying for Brother Cox, who's in the hospital. You praying for someone. I love Brother Siler's message about, do you have someone in mind who you know is lost that you're praying for? It ought to be somebody you're praying for. Number three, the third priority in revival is restoration and fellowship. Restoration and fellowship. A true cleansing is necessary for believers to make things right with each other. and to maintain unity in the church. In other words, as we get right with God, we will get right with each other. And I don't know, as a pastor right now, of anybody in the church who's really mad at each other. I don't know of anything. And usually I find out. I'm pretty good at it. Because it comes to me. Little birds come and talk to me, you know. And emails, whatever. But I do understand there's always going to be some tension that personalities do not always mix. Hello? They just don't. And so from time to time in a church, you'll have a personality clash. And we've had that. Even the last year, we've had that. But can I just remind you that just because your personality does not mix with someone else does not mean you shouldn't love them and pray for them. Doesn't mean you shouldn't genuinely care for them as a Christian brother or sister. It may mean that you don't go to lunch with them after church. But it does mean you shouldn't avoid shaking their hands during church. If you're avoiding shaking their hand in church, then you have a biblical problem. I don't think we have that going on. I hope we don't. But that shouldn't be the case. But there absolutely, especially now that our church is growing and a little bigger, there's going to be personality clashes. Even in Sunday school, there may be times where you may switch a Sunday school class or do other things because your personality doesn't match necessarily the teacher. Whatever the case is, that's no problem. But it should never affect your relationship with that person. I've got so many stories on this one. I won't tell them. But it's unbelievable to me how a Christian can say he's a Christian and won't shake my hand. Now, nobody in this church, but I've had many. And Brother Wiggins had. We've experienced this as pastors. I'm talking about other pastors who won't shake my hand. I'll give them a hug, man. I don't care, you know. I'm like, come on, you know. I'll get John Reed to help me. I'm glad God's given me that, you know, that, whatever you want to call it. Usually within a day or two, my animosity is gone. Pray it away. Amen. You can't live with that stuff. And it's amazing to me. In other words, as we get right with God personally, as our prayer life begins to get back where it should be, because we are getting right. By the way, if you're not right with God, God doesn't hear your prayers. Brother Siler, remember, he preached on that. Very good, very well pointed out. Then thirdly, as we get together, as we get right with God, then the contention and issues we have with others will get right as well. That's the priorities now. Restitution and fellowship. Number four priority of revival is discipleship. Discipleship. In other words, going forward in your Christian life. Going forward in your Christian life. Helping in that walk. Going forward in your walk with the Lord. In other words, after the revival meeting has taken place, and you should have experienced a cleansing. You should have experienced a renewed vigor to want to have a prayer life. You should have experienced any kind of problem you have with a fellow believer. You should have experienced in revival getting that right. And in turn, number four, that would allow you to go forward in your Christian life. If you've got problems in the sin area, and you've got problems in the prayer area, and you've got problems in the unity area, you're going to have problems going forward in your Christian life. Growth is going to be stunted. It's going to stunt your growth in the Christian life. And certainly as children of God, we want to grow into healthy Christians. Don't you? I mean, that's what I want that in my own life. And from time to time, we reevaluate ourselves and say, you know, where are we at in our Christian life? How much have we grown in our Christian life this last year? I was not only challenged by the revival, but I was challenged by my brother, who came down and spent the week with us. And I appreciated y'all's prayers while he was here with his 10 kids. And that was the week before the revival meeting. And him and I had a good time, just a chance to sit down and talk about the Bible and things of the Bible. And we just made some challenges to each other. Sometimes we need accountability. Just saying to someone else, hey, I'm kind of weak in this area. Why don't you email me or text me every once in a while and say, hey, how's this going in your spiritual life? Hello? Maybe you're in that position. You're not going forward in your Christian life. Maybe you just need some accountability with someone. Maybe the spouse isn't the best choice for that. Because your spouse will be easy on you. Some of y'all think my wife is like the toughest person in the world. You know, she's about the softest lady you'd ever meet. Honestly, the kids just love her, and one-on-one, you know, she's not the best person necessarily for me to be accountable to.
And she'll say everything in the world. But, you know, also, secondly, with your spouse, sometimes you don't listen to them either, you know. Selective hearing. So it might be good for you to find a man or a woman in the church whom you feel close to, someone you could be accountable to, and help you in this priority of discipleship, someone you could help and go forward with. The last priority is what I started with, and that is soul winning. See, it's the product of all the other four. As we get right with the Lord, as we are cleansed, and then our prayer life is renewed, and our fellowship is restored with others and so forth, and then we begin to again grow as we should in the Christian life, the product of that, the results of that, is a soul winner's heart. Because as we get closer to Jesus, and as we see Jesus for who He is, we see ourselves for who we are, as Isaiah did. And we say, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. And as we are cleansed, and as that takes place, as we get closer to the Lord, we will say, Lord, here am I, send me. It's a product of it. I think as a church, sometimes we get it backwards. We start with the soul winning. And we push it. Don't believe me, I'm not changing anything. But the ideal of it, of saying to someone, you need to be out soul winning. You need to be out for visitation. Come on, you know. And then sometimes as a pastor, I know I do it and, you know, guilt people into it. And just sometimes we reward people into it. We do all things, sorts of things to really encourage people. And some of those things aren't wrong. But if we just get back to people getting right with God, people having the proper prayer life, and we as Christians would have unity, which I'm thankful for our church being unified, but unity. And as we grow in the Lord, you'll tell your co-worker about the Lord. It'll just happen. It's just the product. It's the fruit of growing in the Lord. You'll tell your neighbor about Jesus. Right? And then just maybe you'll show up on a Tuesday night or a Saturday. Come out and help us reach our community for the Lord. It's a wondrous thing. Wonderful thing. Wonderful. No greater joy. What are the results of the revival in your life? You know, we can have the same thing that happens to youth and when they go to youth camp. We can go through revival and make some decisions at the altar and then just walk away and do nothing. Let's keep our commitments to the Lord. Let's keep our priorities right. Let's have revival in our own lives and in our church. Let's all stand. Verse invitation, hymn 163, Only Trust Him.